Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. We are so glad to have you this evening. Hey, it's going to be hot in here tonight. We're getting a little controversial. We are talking about unplugging from the matrix. And what is the matrix? It's that day-to-day grind. It's false evidence appearing real. It's real. It's working on our fears and fears to go with the mainstream of society, fear to question anything that is the mainstream, questioning our government, questioning our religious organizations. What are we taught in school? Is this real or is this Memorex? We're going to be talking about that tonight. So first we're going to do a little Patti LaBelle and Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Give us a minute. Hey, having a little technical difficulties, but you know how we do it. We keep on pushing. So, Tabitha, what do you think about what we're going to be talking about tonight?
It is going to be hot. It's amazing to learn different things and study in this matrix and how to escape the matrix and create your own reality. We're going to have a guest speaker who's a special friend of mine to come on after we get done playing Patti LaBelle. And here it is, Patti LaBelle, Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere
Okay, that was Patti LaBelle and Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm going to take it over to Tab.
All right, and this is part one of Unplugging the Matrix. I have the honors of introducing a very special friend of mine who is near and dear to my heart and who has enlightened me, and he has been doing 4.5 years of illumination into studying the Matrix. And we're going to introduce him, and now his name is Terry Freeman. Hello, Terry. We're having a little bit of difficulty tonight. Hold on just one moment here. We're going to try to see if we can get Terry on the line. Terry?
Okay, Terry, we're just having a little bit of trouble. Can we hear you? Can you say something now? We may have to switch you up and have you come in here, Terry. I'm sorry, but we can't hear you, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. So we may have to have you come in here with us.
We do apologize for the inconvenience.
Okay, we're sorry about the inconvenience. Sometimes we just have, this is Blog Talk Radio, and sometimes we just have a little bit of technical difficulty. So again, this is Terry Freeman. We're going to be talking about the Matrix and unplugging from the Matrix, unplugging from the grind. Is this a dream or is this real? How are we living and how do you get out of this? So we're turning that over to Terry Freeman.
Okay. Sorry about that technical difficulty that we had there. But you guys want to talk about the Matrix. I guess I should start by saying, what about the Matrix you guys want to know? Is it more so of what it is, where it comes from, how it started, its origins, anything like that? Or, you know, a lot of people say, or a lot of people think that the Matrix is more like you were saying, the day-to-day grind and stuff like that. But as far as its origins, no one really knows the origins of it. But as far as it being out here, it is. It is alive and prevalent. And it's basically a system that has been created that is designed to blind you from what is really happening in the real world around you. And it's a world of fiction that's been put in front of you, a world of false evidence appearing real, and that's an acronym for fear. And the powers that be, whomever that is, has placed this fear upon us. And the fear is basically just false evidence appearing real. You would ask yourself certain questions that would open up and allude to what the Matrix is. And for example, one of the main things of fear, or the main things that has been put in front of us, is your straw man. And the song that was being played prior to me coming on was the Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is the theme song of The Wizard of Oz. And that movie actually depicts the Matrix. It's actually trying to give you a history and some type of insight as to what has happened to our country. And what has happened to our country is that the country has been turned over or turned into a state of paper corporate fictions. And the paper corporate fictions start with your straw man. And it's when you're born, or when they say when you're birthed, when you're birthed through from your mother's womb, you're birthed through a canal. You have to have a birth certificate signed in your name. And that birth certificate is specifically designed to start you off as a corporate fiction. Because if you notice on that birth certificate, your name is typed in all capital letters. And then you want to ask yourself, why is this in all capital letters? Look at your, take your driver's license, for instance. Your driver's license, your name is written in all capital letters. Why is that so? You may want to research that. And once you research it, you'll come across a lot of things. But the main thing about it is that that's your front. That's your company front. That's your way of interacting in the world of commerce. And what happened in The Wizard of Oz is our world got changed into a world of commerce and got taken out of the real, but it was actually designed so we can bring in, so we can rush in the Federal Reserve note, the money. The Wizard of Oz actually represents what happened with the money. The Wizard of the Gold, OZ, represents gold, Oz. And that movie is depicting what happened at that particular time with our country, with the banks taking over and taking control of the land, because the land was, you know, who controls the land controls the world. And most people at that, during that time, or a little earlier, only people that could vote was the people that actually had land. And voting was, you know, you were voting for your major politicians, your presidents and things of that nature. And at that time, it may have meant something back during that time, but now it's turned into where it's, you know, you're voting for a corporate leader. And The Wizard of Oz is still in essence telling you that. If you take Dorothy, for instance, there are a lot of symbolisms in the movie. Dorothy represents the people. We the people have the power, but we've been forced through fear, conditioned by fear, to believe that this the people don't have a say-so. But the people created all of these other corporate fictions. So the creators control their fictions. Their fictions don't control them. But a part of the matrix is to get you to believe that, you know, your fictions control you. So that's one part of the matrix. Dorothy she's running, you know, tries to get out of the tornado, and she somehow hits her head and gets knocked unconscious. She gets knocked unconscious, her world changes. The movie starts off in black and white. Then when she wakes up from her unconscious state, the movie is in color. The color represents the fictional world. Because if you take the etymology of the word color, it actually means not real. It means, you know, fake, phony, fiction, not clear, stuff like that. So she's in the world of color, and after she's introduced to everything, and the munchkins and the shoes are put on her feet. The shoes were in the original book were silver, but they for whatever reason in the movie made them ruby slippers. Some people say the ruby slippers represents the blood. If you notice that, the witch could never touch this ruby slippers because the witch was the fiction, and the fiction can't interact with the real, so the real represents the blood or the ruby slippers. Or even if it was when the book was originally written, the silver was real, you know, real commodity or real substance. And fictions can't interact with real substances. But at any rate, so Dorothy has on the ruby slippers, and she's going to meet the wizard. They tell her she has to meet the wizard. She wants to go home. Well, how do I meet the wizard? I got to follow the yellow brick road. So she's following the yellow brick road. The yellow brick road represents gold, represents a true substance, a pure substance. And she has to follow the gold, and if you notice, the gold actually goes all the way into the Emerald City. The Emerald City represents Federal Reserve notes, which the Federal Reserve Bank created that when they took all the gold. And along her way in the fictional world of color, she meets the first fiction, which is the straw man or the scarecrow. Scarecrow represents your straw man, which would be her all capital letter name, you know. And she has to have that to interact, to even, you know, just to interact in commerce. You have to have that straw man, because if not, you got to be responsible for those damages that you may bring upon anybody. But fictions can't interact with real, something real. you have to get that fiction life. So you have to, what they say, come down from your sovereignty of a real person and act as a, use your vessel, which is your straw man. That's why your birth of ships and things like that, a birth into vessel, you know, into the dock, which in courts, you know, dock means the docket. They used all that old school terminology back in the day, and they're playing games with words on you. That's a part of the fiction also. But she meets the straw man, so she has to have a straw man. Then the next entity, corporation she meets, or fictional figure, is the Tin Man. The Tin Man was, that was a slick way to bring in your tax ID number. You know, that's the T-I-N, 10, tax ID number. That's how you're identified. That's how you're tracked. That's how you're traced. You have to be traced. Anybody that has a number attached to them, you belong to somebody. You know, you whenever you're itemizing and doing inventory of anything that you have in your house or in your possessions, you put a number to it or some kind of label. Some kind of name or something, some kind of serial number. We all have serial numbers. We're tracked by who? We'll get into that maybe probably later or if not part two of who's tracking us, who may have come up with this matrix or come up with this system. But just to give you a little tidbit on that, we all feel like we're broadcasting this show from a country that is commonly known as America. But in America, we speak what language? Most people would say we speak English. So why are Americans speaking English? That's just a little something to get you to think about. Maybe part two we'll go into that. But that's part of the Matrix also. But back to Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. So she meets her Tin Man. Now she has a tax ID number. Then they bring in the lion. The lion represents in this movie the courage, because he lost his courage. Represents the courage of the people. The people forgot who they were, kind of like the Lion King. Remember in the Lion King when Mufasa, Simba forgot who he was, meaning who he was from. His father was the king of Pride Rock. He had forgotten that. And he once he remembered, he went back to go claim his pride land. And kind of the same thing happened with the Wizard of Oz. They were showing you that he forgot, he had lost his courage. Look, a lion forgets their, you know, lose courage. So they were actually trying to tell you that the people lost the courage to stand up against Congress. Or some people say Congress lost their, wasn't strong enough to stand up against the powers that be that controlled them. But it's really the people. The people run the country. The people need to stick together, become one, and stop being individuals, which is in divide you all. And not be divided and become one to, you know, get your Congress back in order. But the lion in Wizard of Oz represents the courage that we've lost. Other characters in that movie represents things like the Wicked Witch of the whatever part of the hemisphere, west, east, whatever it is, they represent the banks and the other powers that be. Because the bankers came in and took all the land. Because the bankers, the way the bankers took the land is by making you feel like you had to have a mortgage to own land, build upon your land, things of that nature. In actuality, you didn't. But they had to place that in with certain things that they've done as far as disrupting or crashing the stock market back at that time in the 1930s, crashing the stock market, making people need certain things and giving up their sovereignty to work into the system of the Federal Reserve or the United States, which is actually a company. If you look up in the United States Code, which is the rules of the Matrix, you look up their codes. Their codes, their meaning or their definition of the United States is a corporation, not a landmass. The United States is a corporation. So when you say you're a citizen of the United States, you're saying you are a citizen of a corporation. And, you know, that we can get into that a little bit more maybe some other time, part two, three, or whatnot. But those other characters represents the powers that be that took over and wanted to control. Because remember in the beginning of the movie that the lady that that Toto supposedly had bitten, and Toto is a very key important part of that movie, which is the symbolism. Toto in Latin represents all, everything. And that lady says, I want it all. She wanted everything. She wants the dog. The dog. She wants Toto. She wanted everything, the land and all that stuff. So she, you know, Toto represents a very, very key element of the movie. So, but the lady that was really, really upset with Toto, she was actually the witch, the wicked witch in the movie. And that was, you know, that was her. That was the foreshadowing that she would be the person coming after Dorothy trying to get everything. But the only way you can get anything from anyone is to have their consent. And we're forced into consenting, giving them permission to do certain things to us because they're using their matrix words, their words of legalese, to trick you into giving them jurisdiction, power, things of that nature. For example, if you look at the word to understand, when you go to court, you always hear the judge read your name. They're reading from a script, and that script has your name written in all capital letters, and they'll say, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. Even with the Mr. and the Mrs., that's a part of the matrix. They're getting you to answer to and consent to being a corporate fiction and give energy to that corporate fiction. And they'll ask, do you understand the charges that are being brought forth? And once you say, yes, I do understand, because you're thinking, I know what understand means. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So I understand. You've just given them consent to do whatever they're trying to do or to fall under their jurisdiction, because the word understand means stand under the authority of. So once you say, yes, I stand under your authority, you've just given them consent. They also get consent by saying, all rise, when the judge walks into court and everybody stands up. You're standing up. What are you standing up for another man for? Who is he? What's the whole point behind that? The whole point is you're giving him authority. He's just a man just like anyone else. He's just a human just like anybody else. But they're walking into court, they're actually starting to put a spell on you. They're putting spells on you by using words. That's what spells mean. You're spelling out a spell on somebody, you're putting it on. So they're going through the whole shenanigans, the whole charades of playing these games with you, getting you to consent to certain things, putting that fear into you. That fear is that false evidence appearing real. And once you believe in that fear, it's going to control you. It's going to make you do things, because the fear has you doing things like getting a driver's license. The fear has you doing things like registering to vote. The fear has you doing things like putting your children in the public school systems. The fear has you doing things like getting up and going to work every day from 9 to 5. If we're free, what are you going to work for? Why are you working if you're free? You know, if you're, you know, don't have anything to, to do, but a free person wouldn't have to go to work. A free person would live off the land and do what they do. But the fear has come in. They put these systems in. They've put these ideas in our mind. They've programmed us to think that we have to do this stuff, and we really don't. But that's in a nutshell kind of what the Matrix is and how I see it, and what I've come across in the last 4 years. And I've studied a lot of information. I read a lot of information. I've watched a lot of seminars, webinars, listened to webinars, and things of that nature. And I actually have a meeting every other Monday where we study this stuff in depth, where we read code and talk about what's actually happening. So I got a pretty good grasp. I don't have total all the answers, but I've actually experienced some things for myself and have done things. Like I stood up in court and won a little credit card battle because I know that they're talking about the straw man and they're not talking about you. I've actually gotten tickets discharged, dismissed, or torn up. I've actually was able to negotiate with state troopers from a time I was pulled over for violating the code, for driving without insurance and things of that nature. Well, I was able to negotiate with the state trooper that, hey, I'm not under your rule. I don't have to have these things because I'm not doing some of the things that you say I'm doing, like driving, which is one of the words that they use to as fear, because they're making you think you have to you're driving and you're not driving. You're actually traveling. So with that, I've had personal experiences when I studied this stuff, I've actually applied it, and it comes out where it holds true to what I've believed in and what I've been studying. So in a nutshell, that's what the Matrix is. It's fear. It's a system of fear placed upon you, and that fear is false evidence appearing real. And with that being said, I'm going to go back to our host and co-host and see what they have for me.
Okay. And, you know, I almost have to take a deep breath because it's like, whoa, that's a lot of information. But breaking it down even more simpler to somebody like me who's just heard about something like this. You know, you kind of talked about the Matrix, and basically what I'm getting from you, and you clarify for me, I'm getting from you is the Matrix really is a system of things, government, religious systems, all of this that we think is real, but it has a lot more depth to it, and it's like how Morpheus said in the movie The Matrix, when you take that pill or whatever, you're going to go down a rabbit hole. So a lot of things that we feel that are real are really not. So just breaking it down to that, and then my other question was, how do you know, you know, because somebody is listening to this, and they probably listen to this like me for the first time, and they're like, well, that don't even seem real. How do you know that you've become part of the Matrix? Breaking it down as simply as you can for somebody like me who may have just heard this.
Well, what you want to do is, for example, it is exactly what you said in the first part of your what you was asking in reference to the Matrix. It is about how the government has put forth these put forth the fear. And let's keep in mind, let's define fear. Whenever I say fear, I'm saying false evidence appearing real. They put it in front of you, making you think it's one thing when it's really not. And also with the religions and all of that stuff, it's a programming. They're programming your minds to think it's something that it's not. For example, how do you know you're in the Matrix? Or how do you know you're living in the Matrix and it's something that you can't see, that you haven't paid attention to? And I mentioned it earlier when I was breaking it down with your driver's license. Look at your driver's license. Take your driver's license down and see if your name is written in all capital letters. Or is it written like you were taught in whatever grade school, like you were taught to write in proper text? Is it written capital letter, first letter cap in caps, and then everything else in lowercase? Or is it written in all capital letters? You'll see that it's written in all capital letters. Something else you can go look at, well, I gave you the definition of the United States. You would think, when I say United States, I'm talking about the landmass. But in actuality, when they say the United States, they're not talking about the landmass. Because if you're talking about the landmass, you're going to say, you should say, the United States of America. And just because I'm saying it, that doesn't mean the same. We have the same definition. It needs to be written down in a certain way because we have what we call grammar. And grammar is the start of the spells. When you put spells on people, the grammar shows you. You have some people, when they say in the United States, they're actually saying capital U, then lowercase everything else, then capital S, T-A-T-E. So capital U, United, capital S, States, United States. That's the name of a company. But if I'm saying it, I'm saying United States of America, I'm saying lowercase U, because in grammar, you're using that adjective to describe the states. It's the United. We're United States of America, and United and States is in lowercase. So that's how you know that you're in the Matrix, that there is a Matrix, because they're written different. That's how you can tell. You can read. You have to read documents and look at it. It's right in front of you. That's the best way to hide something from somebody is to put it in plain sight. They put it in plain sight, and we pay no attention to it because we listen to it rather than see it.
And we put it in writing.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't read documents.
Right. And a lot of and can't read. And Tabitha brought up checks. Something about checks. We think those checks belong to us when they actually don't. And here's how you know that they don't. I want you to, if we still write checks, because I don't even write checks anymore. I use my check card. Yeah, I'm in the Matrix.
We all
leave
it, whether we want to admit it or not.
Right. Well, when we have to be in it because our government has forced us to be in it, but there's a way you can operate in it and not be held liable for the things that they hold, because the Matrix is not you. The Matrix is your straw man. Dorothy met her straw man first. When she got on her journey, she had to have a straw man to help protect her. And the straw man, what was his thing? If I only had a brain?
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, the brain was Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here just to control you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, he did everything Dorothy said do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was, he was, you know. But at any rate, look at your checks. Or look at their checks, but they're not yours. Look at their checks. And where you sign, look, take a microscope, not a microscope, but magnifying glass. Take a magnifying glass and look at that line where you sign. That's actually not a line. Those are actually words, letters. And the letters say authorized agent. You're an authorized agent for that straw man, for that company. You're the flesh and blood. You're the energy. You have to put energy to that, and we call it an instrument. Because in the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, that's an instrument under Title 3, Section, whatever, blah, 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 blah. That's some of the stuff that we study in our class. But you'll see that on that check that doesn't belong to you, you are an authorized agent to make that whatever transaction happen. And we're all authorized agents. You're authorized agents for the straw man. You're authorized agent for whatever company, you're authorized agent for, blase, blase, blase. So that's kind of how you know you're in the Matrix. They've hidden things in plain sight. You just look at the verbiage, look how it's written. You see your name. Everything that's government issued, school issued, it's in all capital letters. Grants, loans, is in all capital letters because they can't touch you. Paper can't do anything. You have to execute the paper. You have to sign the paper to make it real, make it appear. And that's what they're doing. They make things appear.
Wow, this is deep. This is hot, like you said it was going to be. I had a question about, and you didn't mention about me talking to you and so forth. I kind of wanted to help people kind of understand a little bit better as you was trying to help me. Born, you know, living in a county or living on. So could you explain that a little bit to people so they can kind of get a better understanding of the difference in the Matrix? Because once you explained that to me, I was like, wow, you're right. So could you please explain that?
Sure thing. As far as being born and birth, born versus being birth, we as human beings are born from our mothers, but vessels are birth. That's why they use the birth certificate. They don't use a born certificate. They use a birth certificate because you are a vessel being birthed into the dock. When vessels and ships come from sea into the dock, they're birthed into the dock. And that's what they look at us as. We're vessels. And we're just actually a part of the collateralization of America. And we've been collateralized. The unborn or the people or the citizens, the United States citizens, have been collateralized and promised as the payers of the debt. We've accepted the novation. And what novation is, you've accepted the debt of someone else. Your government is in bankruptcy, not you. Not us, not the people. The government is. But they've tricked people into giving up their sovereignty, going into getting citizenship, and once you get that citizenship, now you've been birthed, and you actually give your children over from when they're born. You're giving them over also as part of the collateral.
When you sign their birth certificate.
When we sign the birth certificate, you're actually giving them over to the government, saying, and they actually take them away from the fathers because they don't allow the fathers to sign. The mother's name is always in her maiden name. rather than her married name. So you're looked at as a bastard. In their laws, all bastard children are wards of the state. So they automatically make you a ward of the state until your father comes and claims you.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna
couple of questions. It's almost of you that is overwhelming, but when you're in the Matrix, okay, you're in, how does England play a part in that? And I want you to explain that a little bit. And then the other thing is that as I was thinking as you were talking about, you know, it's really about us being dumbed down, and we don't realize the power of the spoken word or the written word and how powerful that is, because even what we speak puts us deeper into the Matrix, and a lot about what you're talking about is the power of the word. And if you don't understand the written word or the spoken word and the power in that, then you put yourself deeper into the Matrix. So basically what you're saying is a lot about written or spoken word and what we agree to either verbally or on documents. Right. So talk about how England plays about that and how, as full, we can kind of watch our wording when interacting with people, like government officials or whatever.
Well, great question. In reference to, most people say great question when they can't answer it. I can answer it. I say great.
Oh, you got me.
I say great question because it leads to more conversation. And what the role England plays, it's not etched in stone what the role they play. But from my studies, I have come to realize and come to learn from the way I perceive things, from my intellect. When I say intellect, my intel, my intelligence, I'm saying the information in my mind. That's what intelligence is. Some people want you to think intelligence means you're smart, you're clever. No, intelligence is basically information in your mind, the information you have, the intel. From the intel that I've gathered, kind of led us into it by saying, one way to know that you're in the Matrix is, think about what country this is, the name of this country. It's called America, right? But in America, why do we speak English? We speak English in America. Okay, let's look at some other countries. In England, they speak what?
English,
right? So let's look at another country that may not have been conquered yet, that speaks their own native tongue, Spain. What do they speak in Spain? Spanish, Espanol. So just want to give you some intel on what role England plays. Here's some more evidence of what role England plays. The Queen, whenever she's getting married or whenever something is happening over there, our networks, our televisions, shut down whatever they're showing.
Shut it down.
Show all of their wedding, from what she spent, what they did, how they're doing, and how much it was, and they shut down. Why? Why do we care about that here? What does it matter? Because they want you to see your rulers. Then you need to see who runs you. You need to see that. You need to know that. Not that you ain't paying any attention to it, but have you ever thought about it? Why are we shutting down the televisions when our own presidents, they don't shut it down for their weddings and for their stuff, but even though, right, and even our presidents, they're really just, you know, presidents of the corporation, at any rate. But so England, they play a role in it because what happened, trying to get my dates together, I don't really have my dates together, but there was a war that happened 1800 something, whereas when the colonists came over, and that's something key. The colonists came over to this country of America, and they came over, and when someone comes over to your country, they're visiting. Well, for whatever reason, they didn't leave. They stayed here, and they became residents. So they're residing here. Well, the king at that time wanted them to give them some homage or whatever, pay taxes on whatever they were doing here, and wanted, you know, to, because they started learning how to cultivate the land, the aggregation, and with agriculture, they were, you know, learning from the natives, and it was very prosperous as far as this land. This land, you could grow things and live off of it and things of that nature. So they started learning that and was starting to have developing their own money system. Well, the king was like, hold on, y'all got your own money system over there. No, a king can have someone else, his followers, who actually they left him, coming up with their own money system because then he can't have control. So he was trying to get them to pay taxes on that money. And the taxes was being paid by tea, through tea bags and things like that. That's why you had the Boston Tea Party. Because they were like, no, we're not paying you. You know, we're not paying you. We don't have to pay you. We got our own stuff. But you don't have your own stuff. You on land that already belongs to somebody. So England wanted to come over and get their rule back over people, over their people. So the colonists went to war against England, but they made it seem like that the colonists went to war against it was the North and South. But that was actually England fighting. That was a world war rather than a civil war. It was England fighting the colonists, and they used the indigenous to help fight. So England won that war, and they started infiltrating and bringing in their grammar system, bringing in their matrix, bringing in their rules, regulations, their consenting laws that you have to consent to. Because everybody didn't agree to it. And what they do, they'll put things down on paper. And I missed the point that Tabitha was asking about the words in and on. When you say you live in something, that's kind of impossible. You can't live in something. It sounds right, but that's you can't live in something unless you live in the universe. But when you say I live in Tennessee, that tells the government that you are one of their slaves or their citizens, because you can't. How can you live in Tennessee? When you live in it, you in the ground. Are you in the ground? And can you live in the ground? Things that are in the ground are dead, from standpoint of humans. You know, so that's why your name's in all capital letters, like on your tombstones. Capital letters represents not living, dead. You're dead entities, and something has to make you alive again, which you have to sign authorization on, the real living person, or the real living, I shouldn't say person, because person means, in their legalese, Black Laws Dictionary, person means corporate entity. So that human flesh, the flesh and blood has to sign off and say, okay, I give it life, or I bring it back. So in is, if you say I live in a county, Davidson County, I live in Tennessee, I'm from, you know, you're giving them jurisdiction. You really live on, and you don't live on Tennessee. You live on Earth. You live off the land because the land provides for you. You plant. It's the mother. You know, you impregnate the mother with seeds, and, it, you know, you reap what you sow in that sense. So we don't live in. We live on and from. And then as far as Linda, you were saying about did I touch on everything you asked? I'm trying to make sure.
I was talking about, you just touched on that, about the spoken word and the words we
okay.
speak.
Okay, yeah, spoken word, yeah.
And the written word.
And you said, how do we interact? Well, you want to continue to interact how you've been interacting, because it's what you're comfortable with, but in order to interact properly, you have to start studying what this stuff means. Read your contracts. Read what
in contracts you're meaning your constitution.
Well, that is a contract. That is a contract. Now I didn't want to get into constitution, mm-hmm. but constitution is. I don't want to say dead because it's alive and well, but we're in a state of. We're in a state of war. We've been in a state of war ever since Abraham Lincoln became president. Mr. Honest Abe. How honest are you when you got this? You know, when your nickname is on. We don't know about how honest he was. But there have been some study that shows, or some thoughts that he actually got in the presidency falsely, that he wasn't the people's choice. And that started the war between whatnot, but at any rate, Yeah, read your Constitution and know what's being meant in the Constitution, because the Constitution it references what the United States is. It's not saying the United States, capital U, capital S. You'll see in it lowercase. And that's a particular reason why it's specified that way, because they're not talking about the company that was created. And you can actually look the company up in Delaware, where they go incorporate these companies because they get tax advantages or whatever, however they do it. But you'll see that in the Constitution it has the lowercase U and the S of America, capital A, things of that nature. So, yeah, you want to pay attention to that. But
you were talking about contract as far as...
Legal contracts, banking contracts, driver's license contracts, anything that you sign your name to. Because when you sign your name to stuff, a lot of stuff is created for the Matrix, and it's what we call, or what they say, adhesion contracts, where you're giving up your sovereignty. You're giving up your freedom to become something else that you really have no idea what you're becoming. You hear about it, like United States citizens, you hear about it, but do you really know what a United States citizen is? And do you really know who the true foreigners are, who the illegal immigrants are? It's those people that came from England that stayed over here, that didn't leave. But they're trying to say, the Mexicans that from the south, from the border of Texas, that just slithered up and came. But why can't they just come to this land? Why isn't the land free for anybody to just come over? So they're trying to put a state of security on. It's basically to control. And for whatever reason, they're trying to control. There are a lot of different theories on that, but that's a part of the grammar, a part of the contract. You want to read the contracts, because once you spell something out, that's the spell that's been put on you. Once you write it down, you spelled it out. Then once you sign it, you're convincing yourself, or you're telling people that I agree to this, and they hold you to it. They hold you to it. Because a lot of people don't realize that the tax that we pay is a voluntary tax. And you volunteer by signing your your W-4s. And as far as taxes with the IRS and things of that nature, that's a voluntary tax. But you sign up voluntarily, unknowingly, because when you sign your W-4, when you become an employee, you're actually saying that you're going to pay taxes. That's why you have to pay taxes, because you sign up to pay taxes. Then you say, well, how do I go about not doing it and not having to pay taxes? That's a different show, different part, part two, yeah. Three, four, whatnot. But it's not a point where you want to evade taxes. If you are a taxpayer, pay tax. If you agree to paying it, you participate in their system, their monetary system, their Federal Reserve notes, you owe taxes, flat out.
Mm-hmm.
You owe taxes because that's their system, and that's what you got to pay. But there are other things that once you become more enlightened, more studied up on, more privy to, get a little bit more intel, you want to start studying stuff. So when the way to unplug, the way you want to interact, is start reading things, start looking up the definitions of them. Something I heard Tavis say earlier that I want to bring in, he said, how did England play a part? England, once the colonists thought they won. A lot of people thought the colonists won. So even if they did win, the British like, okay, since y'all think y'all won, what we'll probably do is, what we're going to do is send over our finely dressed, proper talking lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And our lawyers, the job of the lawyers is to come over and put the spell upon people and give and write down some of the matrix things that are going to get you to give up some of your land, give up some of your sovereignty, because all lawyers and attorneys have to pass what they call the bar, the BAR. And what the bar stands for is the British Accreditation Registry.
Mm.
And you're pledging...
Bingo!
You're pledging your loyalties to the British to come over to put your spell on the people of America so you can control their company, control their land. And it's all a control. It's all a control mechanism. So be weary of hiring lawyers. Be weary of hiring attorneys, because their first obligation is to the courts, to their pledge, and to the British the British Registry.
You talked about that, and I don't know if you guys can hear me, but you can hear me. Let's talk about, because we got like 9 minutes.
How do you start to unplug? And I think just being one of the things is probably being educated, and talked about that a little bit about it. So I'm going to let you talk a little bit about it, and then I'm going to take it over to Tabitha.
Well, the first thing you want to do as far as becoming unplugged is to know that you are a real, you're real in flesh and blood, and you're not the paperwork, the corporate fiction. And once you start realizing that, you want to start interacting and start reading up on giving yourself some more information as to what's going on. So you may want to read, let's see, what can I give you guys to read, or research. I would say try to find you a Black's Law Dictionary. I wouldn't pay for it right now until you get more, because they're pretty expensive, but there's some free stuff online that you can possibly download, some free editions, and get your earlier editions, because once this information starts getting out, they start editing things and making it a little more difficult, but they still use, you know, you can reference your early editions. You have to define things for yourself. But start studying Black's Law Dictionary, looking up particular words, and looking up in your contract something that you sign. But I would first probably research straw man. Research that. Research straw man and birth certificate. And if you Google it, you want to type in the truth about the straw man or the truth about...
like straw man, S-T-R-A-W.
M-A-N, uh-huh. You research that. And I would even go as far as having you guys pull up this guy. Once I first started getting into it, I kind of found and stumbled upon somebody that revealed a lot to me, this cat named Eric Lovely. YouTube Eric Lovely, Reclaim Your Sovereignty. And he's actually on his radio station called Reclaim Your Sovereignty. I think it's called Reclaim Your Sovereignty, the station. But the name, the title of it is Reclaim Your Sovereignty. It's 10 parts. I think they're doing 10-minute intervals, 10-minute episodes. And is it 10 minutes? 10-minute, yeah, 10-minute episodes. And it's about 10 of them. 10 or 6 of them will get you an hour or whatnot. And he's going to break down some of the things that I was trying to break down, but he breaks it down a little bit more detailed in reference to the years. He talks about the Moors. He talks about the British. He talks about being patriotic. He talks about that you're not living what you think you're living. You're actually being put up under a spell from their word definitions. So I'll probably first go there, listen to how he breaks those things down, and then research after that what he's saying, and find out for yourself. You know, you definitely want to do the research on your own, because the way I interpret things may not be the way you interpret things. But it's written in black and white, and you can see it. And then once you start opening your mind to that, the spirit will lead you elsewhere, will give you other things. So I say that's kind of where you start. Researching, looking up definitions, looking up the etymology of words, because some of the words we don't know, we don't think they mean what they mean. Like, they call us black, they call us white, but what does black and white really mean? And when you look up the word black, you'll be like, wow, I didn't think black meant that. You know, I didn't think white meant that. And as far as us being people are not colors. We're not black people. We're not white people. You know, we're humans. We have shades. We all have different shades. So you can't just lump everybody with a dark shade as black. Everybody with a light shade is white. You know, why aren't some people brown? Why aren't they brown people? Why aren't they peach people? You know? So, you know, just something to think about. And you just want to turn your TV off and kind of let your spirit lead you to where you need to go, rather than a television leading you, because the television is the matrix in itself. Also, it's programming your mind to think a certain way and to do certain things. So turn your TV off, hit YouTube and hit a book, and go from there.
Okay, Tab, I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Terry. You've given us a lot of insight and enlightened us on a lot of things about the matrix. And there's a lot of research out there, and I come across a lady, her name is Simona Rich, and I'm going to read an article a little bit about what she stated on how to escape the matrix and create your own reality. For you to completely escape this collective reality, you first need to know how to know how people get into it. It starts from the very early years of a human life. The child learns the concept of the matrix from his or her parents because they have been programmed, completely programmed, to live within it. These concepts are further reinforced in the kindergarten, where he or she is shown that we should learn from the external world, especially the authority, rather than discover the truth within. Then children go to school where rules of life are established, that mind is more important than spirit. The false history of the world is instilled in their brains so that their reasoning would be false. Again, the obedience to authority. Time to teach the teachers and headmasters is further reinforced. Finally, teenagers enter university where they further grow their ego, submit to authorities, and erase the memory of their souls through the use of mind only. Then comes work, the slavery that humans were many years through kindergarten, schools, and universities trained to submit to willingly. So here it goes. All our lives were spent for subscribing to the matrix and not seeing through it. And so most people do this perfectly. They never wake up. But some of us do. Some of us, after years of conditioning, still hear the silent call of the spirit and decide to follow it, despite the fears and public pressure. That's a key to free yourself entirely from the matrix of lies. You have to keep listening to the call of your soul and do what it tells you to. Despite your fear, you have to do what your heart tells you. Fear keeps you in the matrix, while it's doing what your spirit tells you frees you from it. When you have a problem, stop and look within. Wait for the solution to appear in signs. Follow the signs until you find the solution. Forget how problem solving was taught in your university or whatever. Always start from within. And this kind of goes and coincides with what Terry was talking about with your fear, false evidence appearing real. And just taking the time to on some of our subjects we talk about sitting and being still, you know, just listening to with yourself within. You know, you can really learn a lot from yourself if you just be still. You know, that's your inner voice, that's your God speaking to you. I'm very excited. I've been very excited about this show. And Terry, you know, he has a rap that he has that we're going to end the show with. But, you know, once again, this is just to open your mind, have you go higher, just think outside of the box sometimes. And now we're getting ready to play this. You all have a blessed weekend and blessed week, and we will see you all next week. And thanks again. We would like to thank Terry, and I'd like to thank my host as well, Linda, for this wonderful, wonderful show.
All right. I like it. Yeah. Let's get some maracas in here. Yeah. All right. Tap a little acoustic guitar with some chords. Give it to me now. Yeah. Give it to me now. Okay. Alright, folks. I'm on this recorder trying to bring some insight and enlighten the people, because we've been kept in the dark for a long time trying to bring some truth to the light. We don't know how serious it is out here, but it's kind of crazy, folks, because what I'm about to tell you, than the ocean. You ain't gonna believe you've been sipping on that notion in this potion. Been fooled and bamboozled by your government. Alright, okay. So, first thing first. We the people, not a person, not a place, not a thing, but a human being. Born on this earth, not birth. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Google, YouTube, whatever you use. Yahoo, Bing. That's the new thing. I bet you didn't know.
And that was Terry Freeman. And this is Soul in the City We are so inspired, and we want to just give you information. You know, some people may have some questions about this. Some people may think this is all crazy almost even. But the bottom line is that we are here, and we are, you know, we become part of the matrix. What we think is really not, and it is what it is. So we just, on the show, we want to cause you to think, to question. Come out the matrix. Part of coming out the matrix is to begin to question, to seek, to find, to be quiet, unplug from, you know, the status quo. So this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit. Have a great week.
This is Soul in the City. Goodbye.
All right.